Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during May. This month's big event, astronomically speaking, involves Mercury. Usually, this small innermost planet hovers close to one side of the Sun or the other in the sky. But on May 9th, it will glide directly across the Sun's disk from our perspective. It's the first such transit by Mercury since 2006, and astronomers are all abuzz about it. But it's not something you can see by eye. For one thing, you should never look at the Sun without a proper solar filter. And the planet's tiny black silhouette is too small to be seen except with a telescope. And that telescope needs a solar filter, too. You can read more about May 9th's transit of Mercury at skyandtelescope.com. Okay, let's check in first with the sky before dawn. If you can get outside about an hour before sunrise, which means between 4:30 and 5 a.m., depending on your location, you'll spot a nice triangle of bright stars rather low in the south. But two of these beacons are planets. Saturn is at the top of the triangle, and Mars at the right. Down at the bottom is Antares, the heart of Scorpius. You might detect a faint ruddy hue to Antares, because it's an enormous red supergiant star with a diameter nearly 900 times bigger than our Sun's. Fortunately for us, it's also very far away, roughly 500 light-years. And yet it's still the 15th brightest star in the sky. Mars has an orangey tinge, too, but that's because the rocks on its surface have a rusty coating on them. You'll notice that the red planet is quite bright, and with good reason. On May 22nd, Earth and Mars come closest together in space, about 47.5 million miles apart. And while that's not any kind of record, it is closer than Mars has been in 11 years. On that date, the 22nd, Mars is opposite the Sun in the sky, what astronomers call opposition. So it sets in the west as the Sun rises. It also means that Mars rises in the east as the Sun sets, where it will join a lovely assortment of springtime constellations in the evening sky. Let's set the stage for that. These days, the Sun doesn't set until nearly 8 o'clock, so it's not really dark until well after dinner time. Once it does get dark, the most obvious bright beacon is Jupiter, nearly overhead. Jupiter had its opposition back in March, and so it's gradually slipping farther from Earth. But it's still quite bright, a little more so than Mars. The Moon joins the evening parade of planets and stars around May 8th, when you'll see it as a thin crescent low in the west. It'll be framed by two reddish stars. Betelgeuse, in Orion, is to its left, and Aldebaran, in Taurus, below it near the horizon. Each night thereafter, watch as the Moon's crescent fattens, and as it swings away from the sunset point, it shifts farther to the left each night by a little more than the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length. These changes are showing you that the Moon is moving around Earth in its orbit. One full lunar cycle, from new moon to new moon, takes 29.5 days, which astronomers call a synodic month. Speaking of cycles, we all know that the planets, like Earth, move around the Sun. The farther out they are, the longer it takes to complete one orbit. Innermost Mercury whips around the Sun in just 88 days. Venus takes about 7.5 months, and Mars 1.8 years. These three worlds move rather quickly around the sky, but the outer planets take their sweet time. Jupiter needs 12 years to circle the Sun, and Saturn takes 30 years. What this means for us sky watchers back here on Earth is that these two giant planets show up in roughly the same location from one year to the next. A year ago, my podcast described how to find Mercury, Venus, and Jupiter in the evening sky. The first two are nowhere to be seen this month because they're too close to the Sun, but Jupiter is back for an encore. The King of Planets is positioned directly below an easy-to-spot constellation, Leo the Lion. Its alpha star, called Regulus, is to Jupiter's right by about the width of one fist. Regulus is at the bottom of a crooked chain of stars that look like a backward question mark. Long ago, sky watchers began calling this pattern the sickle, because it also looks like the handheld tool used for cutting tall stalks of grain or grass. Well to Jupiter's left, about four-fifths away, is the bright star Spica, though you'll often hear it called Spica, which is the anchor star in the constellation Virgo, the Maiden. Now, below Jupiter are four rather dim constellations that you don't hear much about. The one to its lower left has a distinctive four-sided shape. That's Corvus, the crow. Next to it is Crater, the Latin word for cup, and to its right is Sextans, the astronomical sextant. Below all of these, hugging the southern horizon for a length of seven fists, is Hydra, the water snake. You'd never guess it, because its stars are so dim, but Hydra takes up the most celestial real estate of all the 88 constellations. Much farther to Jupiter's right, halfway up in the west, are the twins of Gemini, with Pollux on the left and Castor on the right. And to their right, about three-fifths away, is Capella, a name derived from the Latin word for goat. It's the brightest star in the constellation Auriga, who in Roman mythology is a charioteer who moonlights as a goat herder. As you can see, the evening skies of May don't feature any strikingly obvious constellations like Big Beefy Orion, which has sunk from view in the west. But there is one obvious pattern that just about everyone knows, the Big Dipper. To find it, all you have to do is look up, way up. You should see the Big Dipper looming over you with its curved handle bent upward and its four-sided bowl apparently overturned as if dumping soup into some imaginary pot. Even though it's so well known, the Big Dipper isn't truly a constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, which is simply any group of stars that makes an obvious pattern. The Sickle in Leo is an asterism too. The Big Dipper is part of a larger constellation called Ursa Major, the Big Bear. Right now, this woolly beast is on its back, with the stars in the Dipper's handle serving as the bear's tail, the bowl marking its back, and its head is off to the left. Finally, every May there's a weak meteor shower called the Eta Aquariids that peaks on the 5th and 6th. Now, these shooting stars appear to radiate from the constellation Aquarius, which is where they got their name, but Aquarius is in the southern half of the sky. In fact, this is a quite decent shower as seen from the southern hemisphere. But for us northerners, we'll have to get outside well before sunrise while it's still dark to see them. If you do that, you might be rewarded with some graceful, long-lasting, earth-grazing meteors that make long arcs across the sky. Next month, we'll try to spot some more of the lesser-known constellations in the late spring sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.